also done in conjunction with Abby Kofsky, who works with our team, and unfortunately wasn't able to make it here, but was definitely involved in the presentation, so I would be remiss not to mention Abby and talk about the work she did for this. So I'm going to talk today, as was just told, about a program we have, Mobilizing Action Toward Community Health, and really thinking about how to implement policies that drive change. Abby and I have no relationships that we need to disclose. And today I'm going to talk, the objective of the talk is really to describe how communities can use the county health rankings to advocate for laws and policies that improve health. This session will talk about our approach at RWJF to public health, talk about the county health rankings themselves, how to translate the rankings into policy change, and then finally a new initiative that RWJ is going to begin around this match initiative. So our goal at the Foundation's public health team is to drive fundamental improvements in the quality and impact of public health by 2015. Instead of focusing on a particular population, disease, or issue, we're really focused on creating a path to the healthiest choices for the greatest number of people. We want to modernize and even reinvent the public health system if needed, a network that includes governmental agencies, business, healthcare providers, educational institutions, and community-based organizations. And more specifically, we work within these three building blocks on the slide. We want to build the evidence base for what works in public health, and that we want to conduct actionable research, such as these county health rankings that I'll tell you about, that show how public health practice and policies result in greater accountability and better health outcomes. We're advocating for the use of policy and law to improve health because we believe these changes create lasting improvements. And finally, we're strengthening the public health system, setting a high bar for quality and making sure that that work gets applied across the country. That said, we know that none of these issues can happen by public health alone. We need to work across sectors. We need to work with new partners. And so we want to really encourage this to happen, and we want to make sure to enable people to really make healthy choices for themselves and their families. And we think we need to encourage interventions in all sectors of society, including education sector, housing, transportation, and the workplace, and all other places where Americans live, work, learn, and play. So the need to think about health in a broader context of where we live, learn, work, and play was the context for work that the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation's Commission to Build a Healthier America did. The commission was formed in 2008 to raise awareness of shortfalls in America's health and really highlight promising interventions beyond medical care that improve health and longevity. We want to recommend policy interventions, both public and private, that improve Americans' health both in the near and longer term, and wanted to inspire confidence and public will to take meaningful steps toward improved health for all Americans. The work of this commission has changed the way we're thinking about and talking about the multiple determinants of health. And I think especially with the conference that we have this year on social justice, it seemed like something important to highlight. So we don't have time today to talk extensively about the commission's work, but I do want to highlight some of the commission's recommendations because I think they're relevant to this session. The recommendations recognize that good health requires both personal responsibility and a social commitment to health. We want to make sure people get the opportunity to make healthy decisions. And the recommendations focus on where we spend the bulk of our time, as we said, homes and communities and schools and workplaces. So some of the recommendations focus on the importance of early childhood development and school policies. Others focus specifically on policies to improve access to healthy foods. And several focus on policies that help to create healthier communities. One of the 10 recommendations, for example, is to become a smoke-free nation. And we know that clean indoor air policies and tobacco taxes are critical evidence-based policies that help us to achieve that vision. Another recommendation talks about developing a health impact rating or a health impact assessment, which can help to evaluate the potential health impacts of a non-traditional health program or policy decision, like those made in housing, agriculture, transportation, or even the energy sectors. Sorry, I changed too soon. These are important examples of the type of policy initiatives that can be implemented at the local level to improve health. The Commission's recommendations are valuable, and I'd encourage you all to look at them at their website, which I'll go back to. I'll give you that at the end, to access additional information and resources on this work. That said, the Commission's recommendations are broad and don't necessarily speak to the issues that affect local communities, and that's where we believe the county health rankings fit in. So this slide shows you the county health rankings. And in 2010, RWJ, in partnership with the University of Wisconsin's Population Health Institute, released health rankings reports for all 50 states. How many of folks in the rooms are familiar with the county health rankings? Great. So I also want to make sure, since we're here, that I recognize Julie Willems-Van Dyke, who is with the program. Really, if there are questions that you have about the methodology and the county health rankings, is an amazing resource for that. But there's a long history to these rankings that I don't have a chance to get into today, but want to point out that the rankings released this year were based on the successful work of Wisconsin state ranking program. You can see here it lasted from 2003 to 2008. The Wisconsin experience really provided for us a case example of how one state was able to treat summary health data and data that actually looked at the broad determinants of health and bring it into conversations, attention, and action within their state. So the reports provide data on both health outcomes and health factors. The health outcomes information is looking at a summary measure of morbidity and mortality. So how many people are not feeling well and how many people are dying young would be the questions that are asked. Health factors look at a limited set of health determinants, which are predictors of a county's future health. They're drawn from healthcare quality, personal health behaviors, environmental, social, and economic measures. And these reports, we believe, are unique because they're first to provide standard measures of overall health for almost every county in the country. The reports give county-level snapshots on health outcomes and factors that influence health, and each state can really see how its counties compare. For those of you who aren't familiar with the rankings, let me give you a little sneak peek. If you go to the county health ranking site, this is what you'll see. And you can either search for your county by using the map and choosing your state, or you can go to a snapshot for each county, and this is what you would see. Each county pulls up the page, and it highlights all of the specific data and then how it compares to the state overall and how it really ranks among the counties in the state on the various outcome measures and factors. This program is based on a model that ranks both health outcomes and health factors, as I told you. And you can see on the chart or decision tree and in the map that it looks at health behaviors, it looks at clinical care, economic and social factors, and physical environment. And there are different percentages or weights attached to each group. So the takeaway from this model in the county health rankings is that where we live, learn, work, and play matters to our health. That was the underpinning of the commission's recommendations, and we believe it's an underpinning of this work as well. So while one of the primary goals of the rankings is to really raise awareness about health and the multiple factors that influence health in a community, we know that isn't enough, and we really think the rankings are part of a broader initiative that you see here, MATCH, which means mobilizing action towards community health. So you'll see the chart on, I guess, the far right for me, that shows the data as the first step, but then it's really about action, and action with the goal of improving community health outcomes as you move along. So what do we mean when we say we're taking action? Well, we're talking about communities. We want to make sure that we assess the needs of the population, that the community is doing an audit of existing resources, programs, and partners, and they're bringing the community together to identify their priorities. We want to make sure that they find policies and programs that work and select them not only because they're evidence-based and because they're relevant to their community. We want to make sure they implement the strategies, and we want to make sure they evaluate these efforts. So you'll note the focus on bringing together multiple partners. This effort and the broader authorization is not just about mobilizing the health group, but mobilizing the entire community, employers, government officials, community groups, as well as our healthcare partners. And we want to make sure that we work together every step of the way. As an aside, while we applaud mobilizing communities and focusing on those issues most relevant to them, and also the legal and policy action to prevent the community or protect these communities, I admit I was relieved to see last week that here in Denver, residents actually rejected a ballot that would have provided a commission to study and track extraterrestrial life. So while we want to, you know, look on what's important for each, I think they probably have enough to do already, that was a good decision. And that was in the Washington Post and at Denver also. So we were really amazed by the response that came for the county health rankings. As you can see here, the rankings yielded over 100 national print and online stories, over 1,000 regional and local print and online stories, close to 600 TV and radio stories about the rankings, and we still continue to see new local coverage on the rankings. One thing for us at the foundation is it actually caused the largest search one day on a search engine that we've ever had at the foundation, and I think that was the highest that day of anything. So that was new for us also. So we've been more excited, though, to see the local response to what these rankings have provided. So there's stories from across the country of the communities that came together to really respond to their rankings. One story that we at the foundation like to tell is about Clare County, Michigan. When they ranked very last in their state, Central Michigan District Health Officer Mary Cushion, who you see here, immediately convened a summit to engage leaders, official, and community leaders in her area to discuss the rankings. Clare County may be a rural, economically depressed county, but it now has the tools and information to form an action plan and get policymakers and stakeholders on board to really improve the health of their citizens. And I don't have the time to show it today, but we have a really great video on our website that highlights this work and what they've done to engage partners across the community in an action plan. And I'd recommend to you all to check it out on our website when you have a chance. So as in the case of Clare County, for many communities, that first step is really assessing the problem and identifying priorities. And for these communities, the first step is often bringing together these partners in a community health assessment and a community health improvement plan. But ultimately, these plans really move to implementation and action, and it's critical that policy and law are a part of this work. This slide illustrates the various factors included in the rankings, and on the far right, you'll see the policy and legal changes that might be implemented to help with the different factors. Some of the examples would be in tobacco. We talked about clean air ordinances and taxes that can help to decrease usage or increase revenue for other smoking cessation or other programs. It's important to reduce tobacco and alcohol outlets through things like zoning and licensing. We've even seen moratorium of addition of things like fast food outlets based on a community coming together and assessing their needs. One thing I wanted to go a little more in depth to explain to you a little bit more how an indicator fits in with the recommendation would be looking at access to healthy food outlets. So access to healthy food rankings actually looks at this, the data factor is the percentage of zip codes in a county with a healthy food outlet. And the healthy food outlet means a grocery store or produce stand or farmer's market. And we really want to use law to expand access to grocery stores in low-income neighborhoods. One thing a community may be able to do is come together. They could look at zoning for supermarkets or farmers markets. They could approve the frontage or parking lot area. They could offer a variance if needed, build a parking garage, give tax incentives. There are a lot of things they could think of. And I think one example to look at would be something like in Pennsylvania with the Fresh Food Financing Initiative, which has helped to look both at financing needs of the supermarket operators, as well as really bringing resources and food and access to it to a community that really needed it. In wrapping up, I want to point your attention back to the County Health Ranking website, and specifically to the Take Action part of it. Here you'll find access to a lot of resources geared actually to different types of leaders also. You'll see community health leaders, government officials, employers and business, and they really provide resources targeted to each different group if you want to start a discussion. Additionally, I want to tell you a little bit about this year's release of the rankings, which is the first. We, with University of Wisconsin's Population Health Institute, are working to prepare for our 2011 release, which will take place in the spring. And we at Robert Wood Johnson Foundation will also be rolling out elements of a new initiative around MATCH to help communities take action. And it will include efforts to connect communities to the evidence that they really need to take action, to share success stories and best practices amongst communities. It'll provide training and technical assistance opportunities around the rankings, as well as how to take action. And it'll provide new funding opportunities specifically for those communities ready to take action, with a specific focus on these multi-sector partnerships for policy change and looking at the factors that affect communities' health broadly, health behaviors and social and economic determinants. And so here's information as to how some resources we have, and these will be on the presentation. You're welcome to get them. As well as I'd be remiss as a public health team member not to let you know how to stay contacted to this. So if you are interested, the County Health Rankings website's listed here, as well as myrwgf.org lets you receive information from our site, as well as all of our funding alerts when they come out. And then I provided contact information for Abby and myself. Thanks.